problem hasn't shut down yet.
That's the proof that we do.
Yeah, I just want to talk a little bit about the fact that in Parshas Balechicha, we have the bringing of the Korban Pesach. And it's important to recognize that throughout the entire Torah, there's only two Korbanos Pesach that were brought. One was the original Pesach in Mitzrayim, and the other was the Korban Pesach that they brought the very first Erev Pesach after they left Mitzrayim, and they did not bring another Korban Pesach until the days of Yoshua ben Nun after Moshe Rabbeinu's death. So there actually was no other Korban Pesach brought in the Midbar except for this one. There is what is called Pesach Mitzrayim. The Korban Pesach that was brought in Mitzrayim, which was very different than any other Korban Pesach. That Pesach, they put the blood on the doorpost instead of the Mizbeach. There was no Mizbeach, you know, etc. And then one Pesach in Parshas Balechicha. So the interesting question is that if in Parshas Balechicha they're given a commandment to bring the Korban Pesach, then where does it say that they won't do it the next year? In other words, what is the svara why there wasn't a Korban Pesach every single year? So there are many different shitas why there was no Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim. I'm sorry, why there was no Korban Pesach in the Midbar after the first year. Some say really there should have been. But the problem was that by the next Pesach, there already had been the Chet HaMeraglim. And from the time of the Chet HaMeraglim, the Jewish people were in a state of excommunication for the next 39 years. And the book of Yeshua records they did not do Bris Milah. The kids that were born, as everyone that left Mitzrayim did Bris Milah, but the kids that were born did not do Bris Milah. Why is that so? Because it would have been a sakana to do a bris milah in the desert unless you had the special hashras shechina. And again, it's hard for us to understand because even after the Jews were excommunicated, they were still surrounded and protected by the Anani HaKavod. Because the Anani HaKavod didn't leave until the 40th year when Aaron died. But apparently the protection of the Anani HaKavod would not have negated the sakana of doing Bris Milah. And this is beferish in Sefer Yoshua, that throughout the Midbar they did not do Bris Milah. Now the Pasuk doesn't say why. The Gemara explains that since they were Nizufin, since they were excommunicated, they did not have special divine protection, it was a sakana. So what does that have to do with Korban Pesach? Well, the Torah does say an Orel, a person that is uncircumcised, cannot bring the Korban Pesach, but so what? All the adults were circumcised. But there's another halacha of Korban Pesach, that if you have children that are uncircumcised, you cannot bring the Korban Pesach. Or if you have Avadim, an Eved Kanani that is uncircumcised, you cannot bring the Korban Pesach. So, someone learned that since all of the children were not circumcised in the Midbar, after the Chet HaMeraglim, that itself would be a reason why they wouldn't bring Korban Pesach. But again, if that's the reason, that's a little difficult, because can it be so that everybody had boys every year who were not circumcised? Some people certainly may not have had kids a given year. Okay, maybe maybe you can understand, maybe by the 38th year, maybe everybody had a son of some age who was not circumcised. But in the initial years, let's say year three, right, year one is Mitzrayim, year two is Midbar, year three already they stopped bringing the Korban Pesach. Now, if you're going to go with the idea of Arbelus, that would only be possible if every single family had a son who they didn't give a bris to, then there wouldn't be Korban Pesach. So l'char, it's a little difficult. But others suggest the Rav Eliyahu Mizrahi is a Rishon, and he's considered to be the great Mefarish on Rashi. Achronim, like the Sifsei Chachamim, largely derive their work from the Ram, Rav Eliyahu Mizrahi, or the Gor Aryeh, that's the Maharal. Those are the two. There are many, many, many Mefarshim on Rashi. And they increase every day. Every day somebody puts out a Chumash explaining Rashi. But the two greatest are the Mizrahi and the Gurarye. And the Mizrahi learns that the reason they didn't bring a Korban Pesach is not because they were Arelim, because some of them weren't, but it's simply because the Korban Pesach is actually a mitzvah Tuliya Bioretz, and the Midbar is an exception. Because if you go back to Parshas Bo, when we were first commanded about the Korban Pesach, so the Lashon of the Pasuk is, now they were commanded to bring Pesach in Mitzrayim. Let's find the Lashon of the Pasuk here. V'haya, this is in Shmos, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Chapei. V'haya ki savayo el haaretz, asher yiten Hashem lachem kasher diber. When you come to the land that Hashem will give you as He has said, u'shmartem es ho'avayda hazois, you shall be careful to keep this service. And then we have actually a famous part that's in the Haggadah, the Shaila of the Rasha, V'haya ki yomer aleichem b'neichem, and when your sons will say to you, Ma ha'avayda hazois lachem, why are you doing it? V'yamartem, and you shall answer, Zevach Pesachul Hashem, this is the Korban Pesach that Hashem passed over the houses of our forefathers as He smote the Egyptians. So the Mizrahi says, intrinsically, the Torah says there is no chi of Korban Pesach until they get to Eretz Yisrael. That's what this pasuk says. And that is why in the second year, right, in the Midbar, Hashem had to give them, in this week's Parsha, Hashem had to give them a special command to bring the Korban Pesach. Because otherwise there wouldn't have been a mitzvah. So it's no longer a kasha. Why didn't they bring it the next year? Because lacking a special sivui, we're back to the general rule that Pesach is in fact a mitzvah tuliya b'aretz. The truth is all korbanos are, really, because see, it's a little unusual. Normally we don't bring korbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash. But in the Midbar, that's why Pesach is unique. In the Midbar, in the Mishkan, we did bring korbanos in the Mishkan. But even though we did bring korbanos in the Mishkan, we did not bring the Korban Pesach except for that year. Okay. So that was the Korban Pesach, the first Korban Pesach that was brought, the first and only Korban Pesach that was brought in the Midbar. But then what happens was that a bunch of people who were Tamei, they were Tamei Lameis, and they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, Lama Nigara, why shall we be deprived of bringing a Korban Pesach? So first, what is the halachic problem with a person that's Tamei? Why can't a Tamei person bring a Korban Pesach? In theory, now again, what are the laws about somebody who's a Tamei Meis vis-a-vis the Mikdash and vis-a-vis Korbanos? Well, a Tamei Meis, we learned in the Parshas Naso, is not allowed to enter the courtyard of the Mishkan or the Mishkan, and the analogy today would be not allowed to enter the Harabayas. Okay. But you don't have to enter the Mishkan to bring the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach is actually not eaten in the Harabayas. The Korban Pesach is eaten in Yerushalayim. The Korban Pesach, the actual meat, is eaten in Yerushalayim, and in the time of the Midbar it would be eaten in the Machane Yisrael. So I'm just want to clarify, what is it about a Tamei that he can't bring a Korban Pesach? If a Tamei is chai of a Korban Chatas, he brings the Korban and he sends it by long distance and the Kohanim sacrifice it on his behalf. A Tamei can have Korbanos brought, he can't enter the Makom HaMikdash, and he cannot eat the Korban Pesach or any Korban. So you might say, well, wait a second. If the only problem of a person that's Tamei is he's not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, and that is true, So let him bring the Korban Pesach without eating it. Because after all, we actually paskin achilas psachim lo ma'akva. Although it's a mitzvah to eat a kezias of the Korban Pesach, but you are yotzei the mitzvah of Korban Pesach if the korban is brought. It's slaughtered, and its blood is sprinkled on the mizbeach, and its internal fats and organs are burnt on the mizbeach. Even if you didn't eat, you're yotzei the mitzvah. So why can't a tamei person bring a Korban Pesach? The answer the Gemara gives, the Gemara explains this, is that although if you didn't actually eat the Korban Pesach, you still would have the mitzvah of bringing it, you have to be a person that is able to eat it. So if you were able to eat it but you fell asleep or you skipped it, you're still yotzei the mitzvah. But a tamei who is unable to eat from the Korban Pesach, he cannot be yotzei, because Korban Pesach you have to be roi liachila. So Memelo, these Tamei people said, hey, we're Tamei, we're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, why shouldn't Hashem give us a chance? Now, there is a machlokes, why are these people Tamei? Is it just happenstance? What made them Tamei? How did they come in contact with the dead? So the Gemara in Sukkah and the Medrash the Sifri gives two opinions, why are these people Tamei? Opinion number one is that throughout the desert, Shevet Levi had the responsibility, including Moshe Rabbeinu for a while, of carrying, transporting the bones of Yosef. Yosef HaTzadik made the Jewish people swear that they would take his bones and bury them in Eretz Canaan. And this was an achrayus. The Gemara says that when all the Jewish people were taking the gold and silver of Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu was looking for Yosef's atzmos to take them. But apparently the Levim would switch off who would have duty. And unfortunately, these were the Levim who happened to have the duty when it was time to bring the Korban Pesach. And that is why they were Tamei. Okay, simple. Which means there was no sin in their becoming Tamei. Lehepach, they were doing a great mitzvah. But they still said, hey, we want a chance to bring the Korban Pesach. There is another view that these Levim, we actually know who they are. They are Mishael and El Safon, who are the sons of Uziel. Remember, Kahas, that Levi's son had four sons, Amram, Yitzor, Chevron, Uziel. Korach is from Yitzor, Moshe and Aaron are from Amram. Chevron, we don't really know any children of Chevron, but Uziel had Mishael and El Safon. So Mishael and El Safon are cousins of Moshe and Aaron. And what do we know about Mishael and El Safon? Not that much, but we know that when Nadav and Avihu, Aaron's firstborn children, died suddenly and tragically in the Mishkan because they brought a foreign fire and their bodies are on the Mishkan, it is Mishael and El Safon that carried them out, that carried Nadav and Avihu out. And once again, it was a mitzvah, but they became Tamei. Now, based on that view, the Ibn Ezra raises a very intriguing chronological problem. And that is, when did Nadav and Avihu die? The Torah itself tells me Nadav and Avihu died the day the Mishkan was dedicated. Now, when was the Mishkan dedicated? The mainstream view of Chazal, I'll mention another view, is the Mishkan was dedicated Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And on that same day, that's when the 12 Nesiim began bringing their offerings. So Nachshon ben Aminadab brought his first offering on the day that Nadav and Avihu died. So Frek the Ibn Ezra, how can I say that it was Mishael and El Safon that were not able to bring the Korban Pesach because they're Tamei? If they became Tamei because they buried or they carried out Nadav and Avihu, a Tamei mace is only Tamei for 7 days. And on the third day you get sprinkled with the ashes of the Parah Aduma, and on the seventh day you get sprinkled with the ashes of the Parah Aduma, then you go to the mikvah, and then you're tar. Tamei mace does not have to bring any other korban. If that's so, Erev Pesach is the 14th of Nisan. 6 or 7 days later. So frek the Eben Ezra, why would Mishal and Alsachon still be Tameh if they became Bishlama, if you learn like the other opinion that these are Levim carrying Yosef's bones? So no, whatever it is, they were carrying Yosef's bones Erev Pesach, that was their job. But if you learn it's Mishal v'Alsachon, so frek the Eben Ezra, they would have been Torah by Erev Pesach. Why would there be any Tumah problem at all? Excellent Tasha. So from here, the Eben Ezra's Mochiach, that the opinion that says it was Mishal and Al-Savayn actually learns that the dedication of the Mishkan was not Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but it was the eighth day of Nisan. Now again, let me explain where you get all this. The way you get all this is the following. We know from Sefer Shmos that the way the Mishkan was dedicated was there were 7 days of Miluim. There were 7 days of preliminary dedication where every single day Moshe put up the Mishkan and took it down. And during those 7 days, Moshe did the Avoda. And it was then followed by an eighth day. This we know from Parsha Tzav and Parsha Shmini. Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, Moshe is Maimed Umafarek, the Mishkan, and does the Avoda. And then from the eighth day onward, Aaron does the Avoda. That's one data that we know. Another data that we know, and this is from Sefer Shmos, is that the Mishkan was put up Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The question is, how do you integrate those two pieces of information? The Gemara integrates them the following way. That the 7 days of Miluim began the 23rd of Adar, and when it says Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Mishkan was put up, it doesn't mean for the first time, but it was put up and not taken down. Therefore, according to Chazal, the 7 days of Miluim begin the 23rd of Adar, and the eighth day from that is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and that is the day Nadav and Avihu died, and that would be the Eben Ezra's Kasha. But the Eben Ezra suggests there may be an alternative way of understanding the Pesukim. That when it says on Rosh Chodesh Nisan the Mishkan was put up, maybe it means the Mishkan was put up for the first time. In other words, the 7 days of Miluim did not begin the 23rd of Adar, but the 7 days of Miluim began Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and Moshe did the Avoda from Rosh Chodesh Nisan till the 7th. And when it says the 8th day the Mishkan was dedicated, it means both the 8th day from the Miluim and the 8th day of the month. So according to that alternative view, Nadav and Avihu did not die Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Nadav and Avihu died the 8th of Nisan. And that also means the Nisim brought their Korbanos starting from the 8th of Nisan. It all depends basically on how do you interpret the verse in Shmos that on the Rosh Chodesh Nisan the Mishkan was put up. Is that the first of the 7 days of consecration, or is that the actual dedication date called the eighth day? Right, and that'll be in Machlokes. Now, the Eben Ezra says, if we understand that the Mishkan was actually dedicated not the first of Nisan, meaning the Miluim began the first of Nisan, but the dedication of the Mishkan, where Aaron began to do the service, is the 8th of Nisan. So then, actually we still have a problem, but let's figure it out. That is when Mishael and Al-Safon became Tomei, because of the deaths of Nadav and Avihu. So let's go there, because so you have 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Now still, there's a bit of a problem here. That would make Erev Pesach the seventh day of their Tumah. So they are still in a state of Tumah because it is the seventh day. Now, this sounds pretty good, but there's still a problem. Because if it's true, like I told you, that the problem with a Tameh bringing the Korban Pesach is his inability to eat the Korban Pesach, if Erev Pesach is the seventh day of your Tumah, you will in fact be able to eat the Korban Pesach, because the Korban Pesach is not eaten until nightfall, and nightfall you are going to be tahor. So you see from here, the Gemara discusses this halakhah, you see from here at least that if you're still tameh even on Erev Pesach and you're going to be tahor at night, you still cannot bring the Korban. I mean, that you see. In other words, even though you will be able to eat. Okay. But now, the Eben Ezra says, how can he say all of this? Don't Chazal in the Gemara always say that the Shiva Shemayim Eluim begins on the 23rd of Adar, and none of you died Rosh Chodesh Nisan? So the Eben Ezra wants to say that Gemara is going like the view that the people who became Tameh were carrying Yosef's bones. So that could be they were still Tameh, you know, even Erev Pesach. Masha'in came like the Mandi Omar, that it's Mishal and Al-Safan that carried the body, or Barry took out the bodies of Nadav and Aviyu. Behechrech, they do have to learn that the Miluim began Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and the eighth day is the eighth day of Nisan, and therefore Mishal and Al-Safan were still Tameh on Erev Pesach. Okay?
Can you repeat it, please?
From where? Yeah.
Like the last bit. What's in the
text? Yeah, the Eben Ezra says that the statement in the Gemara that the 7 days of Miluim began the 23rd of Adar, and the eighth day is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and Nadav and Aviyu died on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that is following the view that the people that are Tameh are not because of Nadav and Aviyu. The people that are Tameh is because they were carrying the bones of Yosef, and that's why they were still Tameh. Because Mishal and Al-Safan would have been Tahor had everything happened on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And that which the Gemara states, however, that Nadav and Aviyu died, and therefore that which the Gemara states, Nadav and Aviyu died Rosh Chodesh Nisan, will have to learn that the Tameim are not because of that. The Tameim are because they're carrying Yosef's bones. And the opinion that says that the people that are Tameh are those who took out Nadav and Aviyu, that opinion, they're going to have to say that the Miluim began Rosh Chodesh, the Miluim began Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Mishkan was dedicated the 8th of Nisan, and therefore Mishal and Al-Safan were still Tameh on Erev Pesach. In other words, the basic point is that the reason for the Tameim will depend on the chronology of when Nadav and Aviyu died. And that question in turn simply depends on interpreting one pasuk. And that one pasuk simply is, what does it mean in Parshas Pekudei that the Mishkan was set up Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Does that mean the beginning of the 7 Yemei HaMiluim? Or does that mean set up on Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the permanent setting up, and there were 7 days before? Meaning, are the Miluim before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, or did the Miluim start Rosh Chodesh Nisan? And that will have implications. When was the Mishkan dedicated? The Mishkan is dedicated on the eighth day, right? But is it the eighth day from the Miluim, and that eighth day is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is the mainstream view of Chazal? Or does it mean that eighth day is the eighth of Nisan, because the Miluim began Rosh Chodesh, right? So this is a chronological issue. Yeah.
So the Manda Amar that it started on the 23rd of Adar, you're forced to say that in between when they actually set up the Mishkan permanently and Pesach, they traveled. Otherwise, they wouldn't have had the occasion to carry the bones, and they wouldn't have been Tameh.
Well, okay. Obviously, for sure, they didn't travel, so that we know.
Yeah.
But I would say, okay, I would just reformulate that it's not so much they carried the bones, but the bones were kept in their tent. So keep in mind, if you have a dead body in your tent, you have what is called Tumas Ohel. Right, so you'd be Tameh anyway, even if you weren't actually carrying the bones. Okay. Now, so be it as it may, these people are Tameh. So the halacha is, they ask for a second chance. And Moshe Rabbeinu does not know the answer. So he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a new mitzvah, that says that if a person is either Tameh, and Hashem actually adds something beyond the particular question, or Derech Rechoka, is too far away, I'll discuss what that means, to bring the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, to eat the 15th of Nisan, so he can bring it exactly 1 month later on the 14th of Iyar. And this is called Pesach Sheni. And Pesach Sheni applies to two types of people. People who were Tameh at the time of the first Pesach, or people who were B'derech Rechoka, far away. So first there's a very, very beautiful thought from the Chidushi Arim. And that is, you know, Korban Pesach is very important. Korban Pesach is affirming your connection to Hashem. It is reenacting, so to speak, Hashem's special Hashkacha Pratis, His divine providence, that He skips over to protect you and take care of you. It represents my emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha. And sometimes a person is very far away from Hashem. You feel Derech Rechoka, see, metaphorically. I'm far from God. I don't feel Hashem cares about me. Or I'm Tameh. I'm such a sinner. I'm so impure. I have no way of connecting with Hashem. So the message of Pesach Sheni is, no matter how Tameh you feel you are, again, we're taking it a little metaphorically, and no matter how far you think you are from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you that chance to come close to Him and to feel His Hashgacha Pratis and to experience the protection that He gave Am Yisrael at Pesach. It may take time. You may not be able to do it right away, but you will be able to have Pesach Sheni. So Pesach Sheni is the wonderful gift of a second chance. That even if we think Hashem doesn't care about us or Hashem can't care about us because of our sins, because we're rachik from Hashem, because we're tamei. But then the Chiddush Yerim makes a second observation, which is very powerful. B'chaira, Moshe Rabbeinu had to ask, what would have been if these tamei people would never have come to him and would never have complained? What would have been if they took the attitude, hey, we're doing a mitzvah, we're patur. Isaac b'mitzvah, patur ben mitzvah. We're doing a mitzvah. Either we carried out the bodies of Nadav and Avihu, or we had the bones of Yosef in our tent. If we're patur, we're patur. Imagine, although it's not quite the same thing, a person got a letter from Hashem, maybe this is more relevant to the women, that says, you don't have to make Pesach this year. And you knew it was from, you knew it was divine, it wasn't a fake. You are patur from making Pesach. I mean, I don't know if people would complain. Right. I don't have to do all this work. And yet, they loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much that it was painful to them not to have a chance to serve Him. And they begged and they begged, please, please, talk to Hashem, give us a second chance. So the Chiddush Yerim says, if the first lesson of Korban Pesach is, no matter how Tameh you are, no matter how far you are from Hashem, He'll give you a second chance. The second lesson is, you only get the second chance if you want it enough to ask for it. If you don't care enough, if you're happy with what you are, Hashem is not going to open the door. In other words, there would not have been the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni had there not have been a group of people that said, we cannot stand losing the opportunity to connect to Hashem. So you will get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Ruchnius that which you truly desire. And that which you truly do not desire, you won't get. So it's not like Hashem opens the door. Hashem opens the door when I want that door to be opened. And then He opens the door. So those are the two lessons of Pesach Sheni, very, very powerful lessons. There's no such thing as being too far away from Hashem, but you will get what you will get Kor Kirvas Elokim to the degree that you want. No, that's why it's a big thing. Amen, all these things are big things. When someone gives you a bracha, or even if it's pro forma, yeah, may you be zeicha to finish a lot of Pesach. You know, we should all we say Amen, Amen, Amen. You know, we want it. We're mispalo for it. You know, these things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks and sees how much we want to grow in our learning and our Yirat Shamayim, and that's what we get. We get what we get out of life. What we want out of life, and therefore it's a function of what we want. Now, in the Torah, when it says, by the way, one other, just a few halachas. Pesach Sheni only applies, very, very interesting law of Pesach. It's very, very unique halacha. If an individual is Tameh, so he can bring the Korban Pesach a month later. Now, it's very unusual. You don't have to get rid of your chametz. You eat the Korban Pesach with matzah and maror, like you always do. But you can have, you know, bread in your kitchen. Meaning to say, the Isser of Baal Yeira'eh does not apply. And, of course, it's not 7 days. Pesach Sheni is only the 14th of Nisan and the night, even the next day. In fact, it's a Mat Nizach, when we don't say Tachanun. There was a Shaila like this. Pesach Sheni, I mean, the only thing we do about Pesach Sheni days, we don't say Tachanun. That's about it. I mean, there's no other way we commemorate Pesach Sheni. But which day don't you say Tachanun? The 14th of Nisan or the 15th of Nisan? So the answer is, it is the 14th of Nisan. Because the 14th of Nisan is potentially festive, because that's when I would shech the Korban Pesach. The 15th of Nisan, there's nothing you do on the 15th of Nisan, because the only thing you would do is eat the Korban Pesach, and that would have been the night before. There's nothing left on the 15th of Nisan to celebrate. Okay. Now, what if, however, most of Klal Yisrael is ritually tummy? Most of the tzibur is tummy. So here we have a very unusual halacha. Instead of having to wait until Pesach Sheni, we can bring the Korban Pesach on time, even if we're tummy, even if the Kohanim are tummy. And not only do we bring the Korban, we can even eat the Korban. So, l'mashal, let's say, miraculously, I mean, it's not going to work this way, because before the Mikdash comes, you know, we'll have Paraduma and things will be worked out. But let's imagine the Mikdash would come 2 days before Pesach, and we didn't have a chance to be sprinkled with the ashes of the Paraduma. So all of Klal Yisrael are Becheskas Tameh Meis. So the halacha is, we would not have to wait until Pesach Sheni. We would actually bring Korban Pesach in a state of Tumah. Ad Kidei Kach, I just want to point out that there was a proposal in the time of the Chassam Sofer, maybe some people are still proposing it, that since the Rambam says the Har HaBayis and the Mikdash have sanctity even today, b'Chorbanan, and according to the Rambam you could actually bring Korbanos on the Har HaBayis, some have said we should be able to bring a Korban Pesach even today, because we're all Tameh. Yeah, we're Tamei. We're not allowed to enter Stamazai, but to bring the Korban Pesach, we have the rule that's called Tuma Hutra B'tzibur, that the laws of Tuma are permitted if most of Klal Yisrael is Tamei. And how do we know this principle? Because we have a drasha. The Torah says, Ish, if a man is Tamei, he brings Pesach Sheni, so we darshan Ish Nidcha, a Yochid gets pushed off, V'ein, Sibor, Nidachim, but a whole congregation, a whole Sibor, does not get pushed up. So that's one interesting horror about the Tumah. But there's also something about Derech Rechaika that's very, very odd. In the Torah, it's in the Chumash as well, but the Chumash is just copying the Torah. On the word Rechoka, there are dots. If you actually look at the Sefer Torah, Rechoka has dots, Nikud. And this is treated as Halacha L'Moshe Misina. This is not, I mean, these different features. Big letters, small letters, you know, all of these. They're called orthographical features. Are Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, this is how you have to write a Sefer Torah. And there's Nikud. So what is the significance of Nikudais? So Nikudais are kind of reminding you that you limit the literal meaning of the word, meaning don't take the word as literal as you might think. And Rashi brings, when it says Rechoka, Rechoka does not mean the person is in China or the United States, and in those days would have no way of getting to Israel. But Rechoka can mean you can actually be very, very close to Yerushalayim, and you could still be exempt from bringing the first Pesach. And there is a machlokas what that shear is. According to the one opinion, if you live min ha-modi'in v'lachutz, from modi'in and further, you are pater from bringing the Korban Pesach. You can wait to Pesach Sheni. You know, modi'in has nothing to do with modern Israeli towns. The way the Gemara explains it is, modi'in is a 6-hour, not by car obviously, but a 6-hour either walking or riding distance from Jerusalem. So if you live, now I'll talk about this, a shaila how to apply that today. So if you live 6 or more hours from Jerusalem, you have the option of waiting till next month. Now, why is 6 hours significant? Because keep in mind that the Korban Pesach, amazingly enough, could only be brought during 6 hours, and the 6 hours are from 12 noon to sunset. These are 6 halachic hours, you know, from the high in the sky until sunset, half of the day, 6 halachic hours. Now, if you could not get to the Mikdash leaving from Chatzos, you are exempt. Now you might say, well, why do you compute it from leaving from Chatzos? If I would have left in the morning, I would be there in time. Or I leave the day before. But the answer is, again, this is a complicated musik. The answer is, you're not mechuyev to get involved in bringing the Korban Pesach until the Zman of the Korban Pesach comes. And since the Zman of the Korban Pesach doesn't come until Chatzos, we ask the question, starting from Chatzos, would you be able to do the mitzvah? And if starting your trip from Chatzos, you would be unable to do the mitzvah, you have the option of Pesach Sheni. Now, of course, there are a lot of kashas here, because keep in mind that Korban Pesach is not the only mitzvah you have. You also have a mitzvah which you cannot make up later, to be Ola Regel, and on Pesach to bring Korbanos. So, L'chaira, why would I mean, listen, I'm going to have to make the trip anyway, either this month or next month. Why would I push it off for next month when I have a chiyuv to be Ola Regel? So L'maisa, it doesn't make a lot of sense why a person would do that. But the Torah does give, vis-a-vis the Korban Pesach, the Torah gives him the option. So according to one opinion, if you are 6 hours away, now an interesting question becomes, how do you measure that today if we had a Beis HaMikdash? Because the 6 hours of the Gemara were measured by walking or riding. But now we have cars and everything else. 6 hours away, I mean, you can live in Poland. Poland is only 3 or 4 hours away. Russia and the like. Do I still look at the distance in terms of walking? Or do I say that anyone by flight or whatever who is within 6 hours is chayav to go? So that would be a machlokas. And when the Mashiach comes and the Mikdash is rebuilt, we're going to have hakra on that machlokas. What is the din of Derech Rechaika for Pesach Sheni? Now, there's another opinion, though, that is even more radical, very difficult to understand. He says, any person that was not in the Azora, if you were not in the temple courtyard for the entire 6 hours, meaning you could live in Geula, or you could live in the Old City, according to one opinion. Again, it's very hard to understand. That if I live in the Old City, and I simply didn't walk over to the Har HaBayis, I have the right to bring Pesach Sheni, because I'm still called Rechoka, because I was not in the place where you could bring the Korban. Now, the Minchas Chinuch says, that doesn't mean L'chatchila, you're simply allowed not to go to the Har HaBayis. If that's the case, I mean, nobody lived in the Har HaBayis, so what are you going to say? Then nobody has to bring the Korban Pesach. Every person could say, I'll bring in Pesach Sheni. So the Minchas Chinuch says, it's a Devar Pashut. You're mechuyev to go there. But the issue is, you're not chayev kares. Normally, if you didn't bring the Korban Pesach, you would be chayev kares. So here, Rabbi Eliezer is saying a big chiddush, you're only chayev kares if you actually were in the Azara, and then you decided not to bring it. If you weren't in the Azara, you're not Chai of Kares, and therefore you have the makeup opportunity of Pesach Sheni. But Avada, he says, according to that view, you are Mechuyev not to take advantage of that leniency. You see, that's a little tricky. Because otherwise, it's not Yitachin, the Michas Chinuch says, that if I'm not in the Azara, I don't have to go. Then who is the mitzvah of Korban Pesach directed to? Nobody is in the Azara. And the Torah says, go and bring a Korban Pesach. See, like the first view, you could say the following. The mitzvah is directed to all those who could get there starting from Chatzos. All right, so that's Yitachin. Anyone beyond that is Derech Rechoka. But if you're using the Azara as your definition, you're going to have to redefine it as kind of a B'diavad. Okay, so we'll stop here. Okay.